On behalf of the family, I want to thank you for being here for Eleanor's funeral. It is a time when we can gather to celebrate her life and to remember her faith and to remind ourselves of our faith. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and I am life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys of hell and death. Because I live, you shall live also." Friends, we've gathered here this morning to celebrate our faith and to praise God and to celebrate the life of Eleanor Wiley. We come together in grief, acknowledging our human loss, and we're asking that God would grant us grace, that in pain we may find comfort, in sorrow, hope, and even in the face of death, the promise of resurrection. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be with us. This is a time of grief and sorrow. It is a homegoing for Eleanor, and we celebrate her faith in you, and we trust that she is with you. But this is also a time of grief and sadness. So we ask that you would be present with us, that your Holy Spirit would envelop us and comfort us and strengthen us in the midst of grief, in the face of death. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. One of the resources for Christians is always the scriptures. And I'd like to read some scriptures to you. One of them is very familiar to you, the 23rd Psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Those words are the words of a man who trusted God, even in the valley of the shadow of death. Another scripture I'd like to read is, it's from the parable of the sheep and the goats. And you remember, things work out well for the sheep, not so well for the goats. But listen to what Jesus says to the sheep, one of which is Eleanor. "Well done, good and trustworthy servant. You have been trustworthy in a few things here on earth. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." I imagine what that means is that Eleanor is back at work, but she's got a bigger stage with grander company, sorry. The scriptures are a comfort to us. I'd like to read one other scripture. It's from John 14. You remember in John's gospel, in chapter 13, Jesus washes the disciples' feet, and then he prepares them for what's about to happen. Listen to what he says. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." The disciples have been gathered with Jesus. They have great expectations for him. They just see things getting better and better. And Jesus is trying to prepare them for his death, that he is going to be arrested, falsely accused, beaten, and then killed. And he wants them to be prepared for that shock, for that death. And he's trying to say to them, "I know what is going to happen. You don't yet understand, but I want you anyway to trust me, to trust God." He's saying, "I want you, when you see these bad things happen, to continue to trust God." Doesn't mean the disciples didn't grieve. They certainly did. They missed Jesus. It was terrible. And it's appropriate for you to grieve also, but not for Eleanor. We grieve for ourselves, for our loss, for what we... One of the grandchildren was saying to me that whenever she would go over to Eleanor's, even if it was early in the morning, she would say, "Would you like to bake cookies?" 8:30 was not a bad time to start cooking cookies. And you'll miss that. And you should grieve for that. There are conversations that you wanted to have. There are things you wanted to do. I saw that you went to Hawaii. I would imagine, maybe not Hawaii again, but I imagine there were some places that you wanted to go and be together. I know there would be family reunions that you'd want. Grieve those losses. It's appropriate to grieve them. You'll miss Eleanor. Grieve for the loss in your heart. But also remember what Jesus says he's doing for Eleanor. Jesus says he's prepared a place for us. We who are in Christ, he's made a home. And he's prepared that for us. And so Eleanor is now home. When we die, we go home. That's the good news. Eleanor is okay. We grieve for us, but we celebrate her. One of my favorite stories, if preachers, Mark, can we have favorite stories to tell at funerals? I do, and this is one of them. And if I get to stay longer than David, you'll hear this again. Sorry. In 2000, Billy Graham was invited to be honored by the city of Charlotte. And he didn't want to come because he was suffering from Parkinson's disease. And they said, "Just come and let us honor you. Let us just say good things about you. You don't have to make a major address." And so many people got up and spoke and said wonderful things about Billy Graham. And then Billy Graham got up to speak. And he said, "I'm reminded on this day of the great physicist Albert Einstein." Albert Einstein was on a train leaving Princeton, New Jersey, where he lived. And a conductor was coming through the train. And he was punching tickets and making his way through the train. And when he came to Albert Einstein, Einstein reached in his pocket. No ticket. Felt in his coat pocket. No ticket. Looked in the seat next to him, no ticket. Looked in his briefcase, no ticket. And the conductor, or the ticket collector, said, "Dr. Einstein, I know who you are. We all know who you are. And we know you bought a ticket. Don't worry. You're okay. You don't need to find that ticket." And he goes through and he punches everybody else's ticket, and he's about to walk out the car, and he looks back, and Albert Einstein is on his knees looking for that doggone ticket. And he rushes back to Dr. Einstein. He says, Dr. Einstein, I know who you are. I know you bought a ticket. You don't have to worry. And from his knees, he looks up at the ticket collector and he says, I also know who I am. What I don't know is where I'm going. Billy Graham continued and he said, do you see this suit I'm wearing? It's brand new. My wife and my children, my grandchildren have said I'm a little bit slovenly. I've gotten a little slovenly these days. I used to be more fastidious. So I've bought this new suit for this and one other occasion. This is the suit that for this occasion, and this is the suit that I'll be buried in. But when you hear that Billy Graham has died, I don't want you to remember the suit. I want you to remember that I know who I am and I know where I'm going. Eleanor lived out her faith. You and I aren't worried, did she really believe? Because she lived it. And she lived it with love. And we know who she is, and we know where she is. Grieve for yourselves, but rejoice that Eleanor is home. Amen.
I said something incredibly stupid to Paul Wiley a few minutes ago. Got here and was back there with the family for a minute, and Paul said to me, I'm happy you could be here. And I said to Paul, I'm happy to be here, Paul. What a dumb thing to say. I am here because Eleanor Wiley has died. But I don't know where else I'd be right now. If I'm not happy, I am privileged. I am honored to be allowed by John and to be allowed by this family to stand here with you today and to remember with all of you. It has hit me a lot harder than I thought it would. Eleanor, I mean, you know, we all loved Eleanor, but I'll be honest with you too in this. It has hit me a little harder to stand here again and to look out over you. And it's a gift to be here. It is a gift to be here today. I have been dwelling for the past 2 years up among the northern suburbanites and in the hinterlands of Gwinnett County. And it is good to be back here where I had the privilege to be for 10 years and I'm grateful that you allow me to be here. I want to read a couple of other passages of Scripture. I'm just sort of bouncing around in Romans a little bit. In chapter 13, 14, and then one other verse. Paul writes in chapter 13, verse 8. Paul writes, "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." And over in chapter 14, he says this, "Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they will stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. We do not live to ourselves," Paul writes, "and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived, so that he might be Lord of both the living and the dead." And finally, there is this one other little verse tucked over in chapter 16 that we have to read today. It is a part of those greetings that Paul sends to the church at Rome. It is a part of that list of those names of people whom Paul loved. And this little verse, verse 13, is tucked in there. He says, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and greet his mother, a mother to me also." Now, people read that when they read it, because who of us really reads that list of chapter 16 in Romans very often? But we read it and we say, what kind of person would Paul the apostle say was his mother? She is a mother to me also. Well, we who are gathered here today know. We know what the mother of Rufus was like, because we know Eleanor Wiley. And we know that the mother of David and the mother of Craig was our mother also. I can say that. I'm going to just guess. Anybody else here who could say that Eleanor Wiley was like a mother to you? Anybody? Anybody in this room? Yeah. That's a pretty good family. That's a pretty good family. She was a mother to us. That can be a little sentimental, I think. You know, I mean, I know as I say that, oh, Eleanor Wiley was like a mother to me. It can feel a little schmaltzy, you know, feel a little too sweet, maybe. But it isn't. Not with Eleanor. I was talking with Julie Hart before we came in here, and I think that we who have had the privilege to serve on staff in this church with Eleanor Wiley around, we felt, I think everybody felt it, but we felt that somehow we were a little more family to her. You know, that she was our mama. But it's not a sentimental thing, oh, how sweet, what a sweet little woman she was. No, Eleanor Wiley was tough. And she was tough. When she needed to be tough, she could be tough. And Eleanor Wiley read people so well. When she came into those offices over there and she was around the staff, she knew when we were tense. She knew when to poke a hole in the balloon and to make the light witty remark and to say the right thing at the right time. She was that kind of person who could buck you up when you needed to be bucked up and get your attention when she needed to do that. You know, she was this great, beautiful paradox. Eleanor Wiley. She was a tender rock. I mean, she was a rock. We knew we could count on her and we could hang on to her, whatever the storm might be, but she was tender. She was always tender toward everyone. She was real. She was funny. She was wise. She could say some sharply funny things, even be a little sarcastic when she needed to be. And goodness knows I am offended by sarcasm. You know how sensitive I am when it comes to that kind of thing. But she could do it. She was real. She was real. She loved. You know, I would like to think that she liked me. And I think she did. I mean, we laughed at each other's jokes and sarcasm, and we enjoyed each other's company. I'd like to think she liked me. But I know she loved me. Because she loved us all. She loved me for those years that I was here. And she loved me for two reasons. You know? One reason was I was her pastor. And Eleanor Wiley loved her pastors. All of them. You know, I don't think all of you loved all your pastors along the way. I know you people. But Eleanor Wiley did. She loved us all. And she was going to support us all. And she loved me for another simple reason. That when I was with her, I was the person in front of her. You know, if you were with Eleanor Wiley, she loved you. Because she loved the person who was in front of her. She loved that person that she was encountering, whatever the situation might have been. She loved. I know that Bishop Sue, perhaps the name that shall not be mentioned here now, Bishop Sue preached here back last fall. She preached here, and then the next week she preached up at Hamilton Mill when we opened our new building up there. And in the sermon there, I don't know what she said here, but in the sermon there, she said, you know, we are all, if we are Wesleyans, we believe that we are growing toward perfection, she said. That our life is a journey toward perfection in love. And we ought to be growing in love. And she said this, and I've never really heard it put this way, and I loved it. She said, looking around, just based on where we are, some of us ought to be getting pretty close by now. That's a good point. That's a good point. Eleanor Wiley, man, she was close. She was close. If she wasn't there, she was right at the doorstep. Right at the doorstep. Oh, I know, she wasn't perfect. I mean, nobody's perfect in that sense. And I'm sure we could talk to the family. We could find some flaws and imperfections that revealed themselves from time to time. But in love, she was darn near perfect. She loved. She lived, you know, she lived securely and comfortably and beautifully in the love of Jesus Christ. That's how she could love us all. She lived in that grace of God in Jesus Christ. It was home to her. And that love that she had found in Christ flowed through her to other people. And I don't know. I have no idea how many times I said this here. I've already said it too many times at Hamilton Mill. But there's a quote that I've used on and on through my ministry. And it's this. It's a simple line. Grace begets graciousness. Eleanor Wiley knew the grace of God. And so she was a gracious person toward all. She served in so many ways. She was the kind of volunteer that we preachers pray for, you know, that every preacher dreams of. She would serve wherever she was needed. And she served in so many ways in this church. She served on the administrative council, and she served as a secretary for the administrative council, secretary for the charge conference. Oh, goodness, she served in worship. And helped and set up this place every Sunday for worship when she was needed. She worked in the kitchen. She served in Sunday school. She served with the UMW. And she served in family ministries. She was the head of family ministries for my 10 years here. Now, when I was pastor here, and I'm sure the same will be with John, we try to rotate people through jobs. You know, You want more people, new people, to experience leadership, and you want new blood, and you want a new vision, and you want new ideas, and we try to move people around and give them other various opportunities to serve in various places. I didn't move Eleanor Wiley from Family Ministries. I didn't dare try to move Eleanor Wiley out of Family Ministries. She was not going to move. I could say what I want, and she probably would just laugh, "Oh, Mark, you're so funny, I'll keep doing it." She made clear to me that she was going to keep doing it, and she did. She did, because what that job was for her was it was a chance to care for the congregation, and she did. And we on staff knew that she knew what we needed to know, and we in the church knew that she cared for us, and she would come to the office, and she would write those cards to people, and then she would make the phone calls, and then on a day like this, she would be coordinating the meal and the time of reception and fellowship afterwards. That's what she did, because she cared about people so profoundly and so beautifully. We counted on her. We counted on her as our memory and as our heart on this staff. And I will tell you this. I cried on her shoulder one day. There's only a couple of people's shoulders that I have cried on in my time. But I cried on Eleanor's shoulder one day. It was one of those times when we had gone through some major funerals in this church. John, you stepped right into that. You have already experienced that. But it was one of those times, and you know, you're weary, but you're feeling everything. And she walked into my office, and I was reading a note from a family member. And it was a very touching note. And a gracious note from a family member of one of those folks who had died in our church. And I just kind of lost it. I started blubbering. And all Eleanor did was she just stood there and did this. And I got up from my desk and I went over and I put my head on her shoulder and I wept. Because I could. And because she would allow it. And comfort me. What can we do, you know? What can we do in this world? Eleanor walked with love and with grace. In the days ahead, I suspect that a lot of us will need shoulders to cry. And I hope we will be that to one another. And I hope we will give thanks for her life in the best way we can, which is to live in the love she knew. And I hope we will support this family and walk with them. Paul, I'm sorry, 57 years of marriage. And Paul and Eleanor, you know, my goodness, what a couple. You know, what a couple. You want to talk about people who are equally yoked, these two. You know, what a presence in this church they have been and are. And now you are still, Paul. But they were the couple that, you know, when they said something, you listened. That's Paul, too. When he says something, you listen, because you know there's going to be some wisdom in it. And you listen. And they have been a blessing to this church. And now, Paul, let this church be a blessing to you. Let us love you. Let these people love you and walk with you through these days. Well, the church, you know, the church is built upon the lives of saints. It is what makes the church what it is, faithful souls who find the grace of God and live in that grace. The walls and the rooms of this church are somehow infused with the love and grace of Eleanor Wiley, Paul Wiley, Catherine Stevens, and others who have walked in our midst. And now it comes to us. You know, it comes to us. What will you do with the love you have found? What will you do with the time you have in this place? What can we do with the love of Jesus Christ now? These are loud and angry times. They are. I get weary of just hearing people yelling at each other or reading people yelling at each other on Facebook. I got to quit Facebook one of these days. I've got to quit it. These are days of discord and ugliness, and everybody knows best, and everybody else is wrong. And the church even, we are trying to decide if we can stay together. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. What can we do? You know? What can you do in these days? Well, here's what I believe you can do according to the gospel, according to Eleanor Wiley. Here's what you should do. One, love your pastor. Love your pastor. John Barnes has come into this church in an interesting time. We'll just call it interesting, John. That's a lot of flux, a lot of change. And John was put right in the middle of it and said, you take care of it. You handle it. He will. He will, because John Barnes is a good man. And he is a man of God. But you've got to walk with him. You got to love him. He might even need your shoulder at some point along the way. Be there for him. Serve others. And care for one another. Care for your brothers and sisters in this place. Eleanor Wiley, oh my goodness. Love one another. Take care of each other. And walk together in this life. And finally, you know, there's one other thing. You know, that person who is before you, the person who is right there in front of you, what will you do with that person? How will you treat that person? How will you judge that person? How will you look upon that person? Whoever it is, the one who is standing right in front of you. When you wonder, think of Eleanor. What would Eleanor do? WWED. What would she do with that person right in front of her? If you do that, this world will be a better place. I promise you. We thank God for the life of Eleanor Wiley, who made her home in the love of Jesus Christ. And I so want to be like her. I do. I'm not there yet. I am not there yet. But I cannot think of a more noble goal. May we all strive accordingly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. God of love, we thank you for all with which you have blessed us even to this day, for the gift of joy in days of health and strength, and for the gifts of your abiding presence and promise in days of pain and grief. We praise you for home and friends, and for our baptism and place in your church with all who have faithfully lived and died. Above all else, we thank you for Jesus, who knew our griefs, who died our death, and who rose for our sake. In his name we pray. Amen. As our benediction, I invite you to hear these words from Ephesians, the third chapter, some of the most beautiful words in all of Scripture. Now may the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, according to the riches of God's glory, grant you to be strengthened with might through God's Spirit in your inner being, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God.